It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's California Wine Country on this Wine Wednesday. Dan Berger, of course, my co-host and the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst. I'm going to let Dan introduce our guest today. I'm amazed he hasn't been in before, but it's great to meet him, so talk about it.
Yeah, Bill Arbias and I got together laughing many, many years ago. I don't know. He's got the best sense of humor of anybody I know who's making wine. And he takes wine very seriously, but he's got a good sense of humor. And he's been in the California wine business for like 40-something years, and he doesn't look that old. He looks like he's about 42, so how do you keep your youthful appearance?
Yeah, it must be the wine.
The restorative effects of red wine.
Bless
lots
you,
of lots of phenolics.
I keep telling my doctor that. And he goes, well, I know, but 6 bottles a day? No, okay, never mind. Very cool. So it's Arbias Wines and Praxis, Praxis.
That's correct.
Give us the history of both and then your history as a winemaker, a winery owner, et cetera.
Well, I have no excuse for this except that I went to UC Davis a long time ago, back in the dark ages, and I wanted to be a veterinarian. Yeah. So I'd been prepared since I was like 12 to be a vet. I had everything all set. And I got to school, UC Davis, and I went to my first chemistry class. And I looked up, and there were more kids in that one classroom than there had been in my entire high school. And they all wanted to get into vet school. Now, it's harder to get into vet school than it is to get into med school, and I don't understand why that is.
No, I've heard that because I have some friends. My alma mater is Michigan State, and that's one of the top vet schools in the world. And I've heard that it's really tough.
It's really not easy to get into vets.
No. It's weird.
So I went to work for a vet for a couple of weeks just to get the leg up on the competition. And it was really useful because I learned a number of things about the veterinary profession I hadn't clearly understood. Vet clinics smell bad. And the animals are not happy to see you.
Thank you. Somebody finally said the truth here.
You know? So I went back to school and I said, this just isn't going to work for me.
Carissa from Grape Growers, they're building us a wooden Lazy Susan with their logo and our logo on it to put right in the middle of this new thing. Yeah, and the Snoopy the dog logo. I don't know. Did you graduate from UC Davis in wine or?
Every young man needs to know something about the finer things in life, wine, women, and song.
Mm-hmm.
I had song down. Women just weren't happening, and so that left wine. Now, I had never had a glass of wine in my life. I didn't know anything about it. I opened up the catalog, and here was the brand-new, first-ever course offering in wine, an introduction for Americans.
Wow.
So I was in the first class of winemakers out of UC Davis.
And that was like 3 years ago?
1973.
Wow. Yeah.
And, I was in with a bunch of folks who are still in the business. Mary Edwards, Dave Stair, on and on and on. Anyway, went through the program, and I got a job in Healdsburg. Brand new little winery going up. It was called Villefontaine. Now, none of you are old enough to remember that, but it soon became...
Well, apparently Dan is, but...
Chateau Souverain.
I'm only 27, so...
And now it's Coppola. So I was there before the winery, and I, you know, have a lot of history with Alexander Valley. I've loved it, lived there. I remember when tour buses were going up through Alexander Valley doing the prune blossom tour.
Yeah.
All the little Italian ladies were out there, you know, selling prune cake, prune candy, chocolate-covered prunes.
I hate prunes. If that would have happened, I would have left here a long time ago.
There you go. Well, you can't find a prune tree in Alexander Valley anymore.
And it was same with Santa Clara County.
And there is no prune country radio show.
Well, maybe we should start one. We found a prune.
All right.
There's one. Dan, your thoughts. Tell me why I like this prune.
It's a French prune. There you go.
Yeah. Well, all right. Okay, so how long has Arbius and Praxis Wineries been around?
I started Arbius in 93. I needed to get out on my own and start making something where I felt like I could express what I wanted in wine. And I started off with 8 barrels.
Wow.
And I was buying grapes from a friend of mine on Pine Mountain. The barrels were a donation. A guy had been putting on a barrel cooperage demonstration in a parking lot, so he couldn't sell the barrels, but he gave them to me. So that's how I got started in 93. Anyway, that was just Cabernet, and that's the Arbius brand, just one single vineyard Cabernet. And then I decided that, you know, there's this creative need, this urge to make more wine. And so I started Praxis, and Praxis is the root word for practice, like a doctor's practice or a lawyer's practice.
We can't take Dan anywhere anymore.
Okay.
Okay, so, Praxis, P-R-A-X-I-S.
Yeah. Right. So that's where I buy grapes from friends of mine, or sadly now children of friends of mine.
Yeah.
Where I get to have some input in the vineyard, get what I want, and I don't have to stick a stick in the ground, stand back, and wait for 7 years before something happens to see if I got it right.
Right on.
So I get to make wine from one end of Sonoma County to the other, literally.
And where are those locations that you're making this?
The Pinot Noir comes from right on the edge of San Pablo Bay. And my Cabernet comes from Pine Mountain, which is the very northern edge of Sonoma County.
Okay.
So from one end to the other.
And Barry?
Yes.
Bottle Barn?
Yes, we've carried their Harvest Fair winners last year, Merlot and Pinot Noir.
Correct.
And is that Praxis or?
Praxis.
Okay.
Yeah, the Arbius is just the Cabernet. I grow the fruit
gotcha.
For Arbius.
Okay.
It's got the family name on there, 24-karat gold fused into the glass, spared no expense, you know?
This is a really lovely white wine we're drinking. This is your Praxis Viognier 2017.
This is unbelievable.
This is a delicious wine. This
Isn't
is like a
delicious?
Baby Gewürztraminer almost. Yeah. It's got that wild tropical spice character.
And one of the greatest finishes I've had in wines like this in a long time.
Yeah.
And so many of these gets taken over with that tropical aroma, and this is very in check and very clean all the way through to the finish. Really well done.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I don't like Viognier when it's something you just want to dab behind your ears.
Right.
I can actually see this with some really nice food.
Yeah, this would go great with, can you imagine, and people don't do this anymore, sole Veronique. Sole Veronique is poached sole with grapes. You use fresh grapes in it.
Is it a Greek thing?
No, nah, it's actually a French dish. It's gorgeous.
Mm, okay.
It's lovely. I haven't done it in some years because
sounds like one of those tableside service dishes. You know, they,
and they do a little. And occasionally, they flame Wellington. It at your table, and then you can't smell your wine anymore in it.
There you go.
Well, and this is a 17, right?
It is a 17.
Gorgeous wine. It really is flavorful.
Ooh, just this? Releasing
no,
this one.
No,
you're going to have this. Barry meets with all our guests out in the hallway after the show. Yeah,
We'll make you a heck of a deal.
All right. There you go. That's what we like.
Bill Arbius is with us from Arbius Wine and Praxis Wineries. Where you got, you mentioned, tell us more about, I mean, you got a tasting room?
We have a tasting room in Geyserville. We're at Locals, right there at the only stop sign in Geyserville. You have to stop anyway, so you might as well step on inside.
Very convenient.
And our winery is in Healdsburg. I use a shared facility. I learned long ago one of the quickest ways to go out of the wine business is to spend a lot of money on a winery.
Yeah.
So I don't do that.
Right.
But I get what I need done there, and we put the wines out at a reasonable price, and I'm happy doing it. So there we go.
Hold on a sec. Mm. No? I wondered if Paul wanted a glass of wine, but apparently he's taking a nap. So Paul O'Gean, great musician who was with us with Laura Lee Christensen and Randy Kwan earlier performing on the show. Barry, thoughts?
I really like these wines, and I do remember both the Merlot and Pinot were well below market price when we had them in the fall. And, yeah, this Viognier, like you said, some of them seem like they'd be better with coconut milk and a pina colada. They get so tropical.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
And this is far from that. It would match a lot of, like, handle spicy food.
You know, it's interesting. It's a wonderful grape variety, but it is a little tricky because it does have some white wine tannins. And if you don't deal with those tannins, they could be bitter. In this case, there's absolutely no bitterness here. It's just succulent and it's gorgeous. I don't know how you avoided that bitterness. It's tricky.
It's really tricky, and, you know, the wine business for me has been a lesson in humility. I always think that I know what I'm doing, and then Mother Nature always says,
Easy, Bill.
Easy, Bill.
Snaps you back.
Stand back. But this year I was in the vineyard a lot, and that's where I really feel that I was lucky enough to get the perfect match of just enough ripeness in the fruit. So the sugar's not too high, bitterness is not too high.
So this is not a blend in any way.
No,
it's an actual Viognier.
100% Viognier, yeah.
I can't remember having just a Viognier that I liked as much as this.
This is really a gorgeous wine because it's not sweet.
Thank you.
As you pointed out, Barry, it's tricky to – a lot of people are leaving them softer.
Yeah, a lot of winemakers have backed away from making it because it's I don't think it's that easy and – you know, Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc are pretty straightforward. You stay in a relative narrow range of style, whereas Viognier can be all over the board, depending on how you make it. So,
it certainly can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I believe in the keep it simple theory, especially the older I get. So all the wines are 100% varietal, single vineyard, completely dry, sustainably farmed.
Mm-hmm. This is all one vineyard?
All the buzzwords.
Yeah, this is all one vineyard?
All one vineyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Wow. Wonderful. And
which reds did you bring?
I brought a Pinot Noir.
Oh, got to do that.
Okay, so.
That's a 15?
It is a 15 and 100% Pinot, single vineyard. From a vineyard where the tractors go out of the vine row. Turn around on the beach, go back into the vine row.
Wow.
So it's about as cold a climate as you can get. This is the very north end of San Pablo Bay.
Oh, wow. There's a very interesting dynamic here. It's obviously been aged in barrels, but there's no wood in the aftertaste. So I don't know how you achieve that, but because the aroma is a little trace of it, and then it disappears on the tongue.
Well, a long time ago, I met some French winemakers, and I was trying to learn something. And I don't speak French, and they didn't speak much English, so it was a little hard for me to learn. But I got the idea that in a Burgundian sense, what they want to do is just have the wine kiss the barrel on the way to the bottle so that you don't overload the aroma and hide that gorgeous Pinot Noir varietal character. You just help the wine open up a little bit, get those lovely cherry. And
Oh, major nice. Cherryness here.
Yeah.
This is lovely. And we've been tasting so many great white wines over the years, and especially Pinots.
Yeah.
And every time I kind of go, wow, this is could be my favorite new Pinot. But
Pinot Noir is
this is amazing.
Is all over. Everybody's got them now. Everybody's making them. Well, this was really a stylish effort. How much of this do you make?
Oh, we made about 800 cases.
And bottle barn?
Good stuff.
Not this. We had the last vintage, I think.
Well, you're getting 16. The new one soon.
This is 15.
Oh, this is 15, huh? This may be the one we had then. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
So time to bring it back in.
Yeah.
Can keep this is beautiful. Is it low toast barrels? Is that why it's not so perceptible?
It's a medium toast. Yeah. I just use 1/3 new barrels and 2/3 older. So really, that's how I balance
plays
it.
Plays in the background nicely. Not
what's the retail price on these wines?
You know, my wife gave me a piece of paper that had all that, and I don't know where that piece of paper is.
I think we were in the 8 or 20.
Like $25.
Yeah, so it's a...
I mean, that's a great price. Yes, it is. I love this Pinot. How are we looking, Mike? 2 minutes? Okay. It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger, Barry Herbst, and Bill Arbius is with us from Arbius Wines.
Right.
And
$25.
There you go. And Praxis Wineries. Praxis is Praxis. And the website is arbiuscellars.com. So go check that out, folks.
Interesting.
I forgot what I was going to ask, so go.
It's a really interesting evolution. These brands have been around for some time, but without much publicity, they sort of mostly Sonoma County availability. You do have some accounts elsewhere?
Oh, we do. Yep. We're across the country, but very sketchy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not easy for a smaller brand because if you don't do your own marketing on the street, and just imagine trying to get to Chicago and justify that, the cost of a trip to Chicago,
yeah,
just
to
walk the streets and sell 5 cases of wine. That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Not without
a
weapon.
This is also a very, very small winery. It consists of me and my wife.
We like it. We like to keep these Sonoma guys to ourselves.
Sure.
By the way, when we go online, we're going to spread the gospel of Sonoma County.
We've got a podcast, California Wine Country Podcast. It's up there at calwinecountry.com or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or anywhere else fine podcasts are offered. We ask that you subscribe to our podcasts. It's free. And if it's not, then send Kathy Ratto an email and say, what's going on? No, it's free. So subscribe to our podcasts everywhere, as I said. And you can also go to calwinecountry.com. And thanks to Christopher DiMatteo down in L.A. who's working on it. What? It's California Wine Country brought to you by Bottled Barn. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottled Barn, is here. And, of course, my longtime co-host, Dan Berger, and Phil Arbius from, am I saying that right? I still feel like I'm saying
Bill. Bill.
Bill
Arbius.
Bill from Bill Wines and Praxis Wineries, Praxis. Go to arbiuscellars.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay, where are we, Dan?
We are looking at the Lagrange. It's the grape variety that hardly anybody knows anything about.
Lagrange?
Lagrange. L-A-G-R-E-I-N. It's an Italian variety, but it's even in Italy, it's pretty scarce. And it is a very interesting variety because it has a lot of wonderful flavors without very much tannin. Normally, when you have a wine with this much flavor, there's lots of tannin to go with it. In this case, tannins are pretty supple and easy to drink this. And I can just imagine just quaffing it. It's delicious wine.
Yeah, it's and what year is this?
This is a 2012.
2012?
Yeah, it finally came around a little bit in the bottle. I mean, I can just imagine what this was like when it was really young. This finally does develop some beautiful flavors. And the aftertaste has got a little bit of that Malbec character, but there's also some plums and some sweet cherries. And I mean, it's
super drinkable.
It's really drinkable wine.
Barry?
White wine.
Hold on. We got a mic problem here, and by mic I mean M-I-K-E because he's not in the room. But hold on a second. Let me see if this is
taking
your mic.
Talk. How about now?
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. So this comes from Northeast Italy, which is mostly white wine country, and the cuisine is pretty delicate up there. And I can see this wine being fantastic with the, you know, they do risottos and very seafood dishes. And this would be fantastic with meat or lighter or heavier seafood.
But I love risotto, and I could see this
pretty good acidity.
Yeah.
So, Bill, talk about making this one.
Pardon?
Talk about making this variety.
Well,
varietal. I'm sorry.
There's a bit of a story on this wine. My wife is an archaeologist, and we were in Italy, and we were going to visit Uzzi the Iceman, who is an ice mummy, and his museum is in Bolzano. So we went up and we saw Uzzi in his very respectful glass-topped freezer. And
you sure it wasn't Walt Disney?
Yeah. This guy had tattoos. Now, I don't know about Walt.
I don't either.
We went to dinner, and the gal said, have you had any of the local wine? And I said, no, do you have a special one? And she says, we have two. So she first served me Schiavo. Oh, yeah. And that's used to take the paint off of automobiles. And then she says, well, the other one is Lagrein.
Are they both red?
They're both red. Okay. And I said, where has this been all my life? It was aromatic. It was lovely. Great compliment to the dinner. And I said, I've got to make some of this. I've never heard of it. 40 years in the wine business, and again, I've never heard of it.
The name again?
Lagrein. L-A-G-R-E-I-N.
And it's Italian, not
it's
French.
It's Italian.
Wow.
So,
200
acres in all of
700 acres in all of Italy. So I got back to California, and my wife hadn't been paying much attention to me.
I can relate to that, sir.
Since then, she pays a little more attention when I say I want to make some of this. I found one lot of cuttings that had come over from Italy to a nursery and traced them from the one nursery to the one person who was willing to buy some and try it. He had some acreage that wasn't doing anything. So overnight, we became the largest producer of Lagrein outside of Italy because of my enthusiasm for it.
Wow.
I don't know if that was a wise business decision, but I like having that kind of wine around to drink.
Well, it's very cool. Let me go to Barry and your familiarity with this grape?
Yeah, we have two or three of them in a store from Italy. And I think we did have one Sonoma producer, probably sourced from the same vineyard in Central Coast, I think, but we don't have it anymore. This is definitely coming in the store. This is delicious.
Yeah, this is for people who are looking for an alternative to the boringness of all these other common grapes, this is an interesting example. You could chill this down slightly. It would go great with popcorn. It would go great. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily think about it as a wine to serve with a steak or chops or anything like that, because it's just it's frivolous in a certain way, but it's delicious wine. I mean, you just can't put it down. Yeah. And if I'm drinking wine, watching a football game, and eating popcorn, boy, this is the stuff I want to have.
Wow, I've never even heard of the grape. This is the first time I've tasted anything like that. That is, it's pretty amazing. It's very unique. I don't know that I would buy it to take home necessarily, but you know, my palate's pretty crappy.
I think for the people who have been drinking the same red every night for the last 5 years,
right,
maybe they're looking for something different. This is different.
No, this is cool.
And the Cabernet that you just got poured, this is good. This is really, really good. This is up there in the
echelons. Bill, what year is this?
This is our 13 Cabernet.
Whoa.
I hang on to them for a while.
This stuff was aged in the barrel for 36 months.
Wow.
So
holy crap, that's good.
That's what I like. That's the technical term we strive for.
Yes, exactly. That is a hip underground wine lingo term.
That's it.
Holy crap, that was good.
Geek alert.
Dan, talk about this.
Well,
it's
really
this
beautiful.
Is unique, too.
Yeah, well, what's really good about this is this comes from off of Pine Mountain, and Pine Mountain is a very, very cool area. Some people would say that it's cool enough to grow white wine, and it certainly is capable of doing that. But I think in some cases, people would argue that it's too cool to grow Cabernet. In this case, the Cabernet comes out gorgeously, and I've tasted some red wines from Pine Mountain. It's a wonderful appellation. It needs to be highlighted more.
Where exactly is it?
It's way out there in Cloverdale. It's way up in the hills. It's got what's your altitude up there, Bill?
Our altitude is 1,600 feet for our vineyard, And the rest of the Appalachian goes up from there about 2,100 feet is the top of it.
Barry, thoughts?
Yeah, what's striking to me is the acidity in this, the really fresh and bright. The kind of go-to Cabernet now is really fat, ripe, high alcohol, big hit of oak. And this is the other end of the scale. There's still plenty of varietal character to me.
It's modest. It's
beautiful.
It's not an explosive wine in terms of, like, for example, too much alcohol or too much barrel time.
Right.
The barrels are even on 36 months in the barrel, but it was aged properly to give it maturity and not flavor.
What's the alcohol on this, Bill?
I strive... As I'm of a certain age where I don't like to have a couple of glasses of wine with my meal and then pitch face forward into my pasta.
I agree. I don't want anything that's going to slap me in the face and then I got to go to bed.
Yeah,
I want to taste wine.
I try and keep them under 14 if I possibly can.
Cool.
So that's why I really grow them on Pine Mountain is I have more hours during the day between 50 and 100 degrees than people on the valley floor. And that's the time when... The grapevine is actively metabolizing. So
okay, that Dan, is that a geek alert? I mean, the vine metabolizing.
We need a ruling.
We're looking at some
we're close
viticultural
right?
terms which are inappropriate for the drive time.
It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn is with us, and of course. My co-host Dan Berger today, Bill Arbius is with us from Arbius Wines and Praxis Wineries, P-R-A-X-I-S. Everything this man has brought in, Dan, has been spectacular, and I'm not just saying that because he's here.
That's good.
Good wines.
I like the wines. And Bill's a good guy, too. So that's important.
Yeah,
thank you. It's a bonus.
And Barry has brought in some specials this week that we do talk about every week on California Wine Country from Bottle Barn. And it looks like it's rosé time.
Yes, we're in full swing now. Over 100 rosés in
County. You guys have over 100 rosés available at Bottle Barn from all over.
Yep.
And are we still talking about doing a rosé festival?
Yes, just locked the date in today. Summer solstice, June 21st.
Oh, cool.
At Hyatt and details to follow.
We'll be broadcasting live again.
I would think.
Yes,
from the Hyatt. Got to talk to the boss about that. It's fine with me.
Well, it's going to be fine. Oh, really? Sanjeev.
I don't get to make those decisions.
And we'll talk more about that. But, okay, what are these?
All right. Oh, one thing I want to say about that, make sure and sign up for our insider list because that's how people will find out about the tasting.
So bottlebarn.com.
Yeah, just insider email.
Okay.
So this is in this week's ad, St. Supri Rosé from Napa Valley.
Supri.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say what the varietals are on it, but Dan and I think it's in the Cabernet world. I know, Bill, you'd strike the same to you.
Yes, indeed.
And Michael... Schultz is the winemaker.
He's Australian by birth and training, and he's very bright, bright guy.
Well, I like this. It's, I was afraid it might be too sweet, but it,
The
entry is a little sweet, but the balance is great. And the finish is great.
You think it's going to be sweet and maybe a little heavy, but it's pretty light on its feet and just very slightly sweet.
Imagine this with some swordfish or some maybe some tuna, seared tuna.
Stand up to some fairly substantial.
That's very nice. It's a 2017. What's the price on it?
Yeah, $10.99. Good deal.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was. We've been going through it quite quickly. It was wine of the week in the PD.
Got to do the tiny house too.
Yeah. So the second rosé. It was one I poured last year. It was their inaugural release. It comes from a vineyard not far from here. Pinotage, 100%.
Wait.
It's another grape you probably haven't heard of.
Pinotage. It's a cross. It's a Pinot Noir crossed with Cinsault.
Cinsault.
C-I-N-S-A-U-L-T.
He's my doctor, Ralph Cinso.
I thought it was Dr. Vinny Bumbatz.
Vinny Bumbatz, he's my attorney, Vinny Bumbatz, yeah. Okay, no, really, what is this?
It's delicious, what it is.
Yeah, very small production. It's a one-man show, a guy and his wife. He works over at Siduri.
but gets a small amount. I mean, it's Taylor Mountain right here in the neighborhood where this comes from. I think he makes just a few hundred cases and, in fact, lives in the tiny house that's on the label, 160-square-foot tiny house. So, but it's been a beauty. It did well for us last year, won multiple gold medals in Harvest Fair and, I think, in Press Democrat.
You can make a pretty strong case that this is the best thing to do with Pinotage.
I've never heard of Pinotage.
It's an interesting grape variety. It grows really well out in the Sierra foothills.
Tastes and you're not from South Africa. You'd hear about quite a bit down there.
Tiny House Vineyard in Santa Rosa.
I guess he's from South
Africa. Wow.
This is a very popular grape in South Africa. Yeah.
All right, but Tiny House. Tell us more about Tiny House Vineyard.
Yeah, so he has just two wines. He makes this rosé, maybe a couple hundred cases, and he makes a high-end Pinot Noir from a vineyard in, I think it's Russian River, where he only makes, I think, less than 100 cases, and that's around $60 a bottle. So it's a very serious Pinot. This one comes in at $16.99. I think it's still a damn good deal.
It is a damn good deal. Bottle Barn, anytime you have any questions, listen to our podcasts of California Wine Country, calwinecountry.com and everywhere else. And then go into Bottle Barn, and if you have any questions or thoughts, talk to Barry's crew. There's all sorts of folks. If he's too busy, just ask for somebody to talk about the wines or the spirits or the craft beers and everything. And
sake,
they'll take
cider,
care of sake, cider. When are we going to do the sake thing?
It's a never-ending story. We keep trying to get people to come, and then they flake out. But it's going to happen.
Well, they're drinking too much sake.
Yeah, exactly. They're having too much sake. Singing karaoke. And
yeah.
Fucking sake.
Bill, what's happening with Arbius and Praxis Wineries? What's coming up? Anything you guys
do
in any
event? Nothing special. I mean, I do this same thing and just keep on doing it till I get it right. That's all there is to it.
That's what we all strive for.
That's it, and I've been doing it for 45 years now.
I've been in radio 45 years, and I've never gotten it right. We've been doing this show for 10 years. This is our 10th anniversary year. Hey, Bill, great to meet you. I'm amazed that you haven't been in before. It's Bill Arbius and Praxis Wineries, P-R-A-X-I-S. And, of course, Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn and my co-host Dan Berger. We're all good to go next week, right? Mike, there's no... we don't have to hang out at Steve Kerr's house and give him crap for not showing up on Monday? No, we're good. What do you got next Wednesday? Do you know yet?
Next Wednesday, I think we are looking at Tom Simino, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, is that next week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Tom. Okay.
Yeah, Williams and Selyum. Jeff Mangahas.
Oh, yeah.
Winemaker. He's good.
He's been in before.
The wines should be phenomenal.
I love Williams Selyum.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so
very cool.
A bottle in your office. You want to explain it?
Yes. Well, that was from yesterday. The Sonoma County Vintners on Tuesday. Come in, and they were talking about William Selyum. And Bill Arbius, great to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
You got to come back. I'm still amazed that you haven't been in 10 years here. But it's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, Barry Herbst, and Bill Arbius. Go to. I'm sorry, I have to go to Kaiser and get my eyes checked again, but. It's arbiuscellars.com. Okay. Thanks, everybody.